Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Contra Radio Network presents the Roundtable Report, a discussion of today's issues, so the kid gloves are off as we listen to real answers from real people. Come and join us on the Roundtable Report.
And good evening. It's Wednesday night, October 5th. This is the Roundtable Report. I'm John Jeffers with my sidekick and co-host, Terry Kaz.
Howdy!
There we go. Our call-in number for the Roundtable Report, if you wish to opine or join the Roundtable, our number is 516-453-9389. Again, that's 516-453-9389. Now, Terry has something he wants to talk about. He heard about it tonight on the news, and he's a little ticked off. So I'm going to let Terry rock and roll and get us all fired up, unreasonably out of control, and just emotionally challenged individuals. Go to it, Terry.
Somebody hurt my feelings today, and I just want to talk to somebody who might want to counsel me. No.
Little microaggression. Do you need a safe space?
Yeah, I need a safe space to talk. after this, I'm gonna talk to my mom. No, I was watching the news and they're talking about price gouging, right? And you know, down in Florida, South Carolina, and the governments down there, they have to actually put out. Now, price gouging is illegal. I mean, it's like a federal offense. It's a state offense, and just about everywhere.
It could be illegal when a state of emergency is declared, in which case they ought to freeze all wages, all prices, until the state of emergency is over. But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, Florida has strict regulations against price gouging and, you know, for jacking up prices on essential goods to exploit situations.
Foil hat soldiers with us. Foil hat soldiers.
Howdy, howdy.
He's like a ghost.
So, you know, it's like, what was it? Like a 12-pack of water is going for like $8 or $10, you know, and stuff like that. People are trying to buy gas. Gas is about scarce because all the gas stations are running out of gas.
Again,
the only thing that's lasted long enough was the diesel, because a lot of people don't use diesel as they do gas. And, you know, so what I want to say to people is, you know, pay attention to the news when a situation like this happens, hurricane happens. Everybody has time to get ready. Everybody has time to prepare and get out of the way even. So what happens? I mean, people are buying water so much in demand for bottled water that they think that now they can price gouge and get away with it. I mean, I'm not on the ground. I'm here in Missouri. But is that telling us that the demand is so high that and the supply is so low that, you know, these people think they can get away with that? They think that it's okay. You know what? Supply, demand, I can raise the price to an exorbitant amount. Like, you want my stuff, you're going to have to pay a pretty penny.
Well, you know,
what gives it the chutzpah instead of greed? Just I know it's greed, but what about the chutzpah, the thing that gives them the idea that they think that they can get away with it?
Well, they'll be dealt with.
Causing this.
Huh? You know, well, you know, Terry, last week, in fact, it was on Julie's show. Hi, Jules. I think she just joined us. You know
Uh-oh.
What? But I know, Chuck. One of the things that I mentioned Saturday and I mentioned Sunday night, if you've got a prepper plan, you better start instituting it now. Don't wait till the last second. Get out there and get it now, because you know, it was last Wednesday. I made the point and said, hey, this is coming. It's coming now. It's going to clear Cuba, and it's going to go over the warm waters by the Bahamas. It's going to strengthen up again. And I told them, the smart preppers, the people listening to our show, hopefully they took my advice and started getting their stuff now instead of waiting to see what's going to hit in the next few days, the next 72 hours. So, yeah, and you're right, Terry. If there are price gouging and they've declared a state of emergency, I am sure there's going to be all kinds of hell coming down on those businesses. So,
I mean, the state attorney generals, like for South Carolina and Florida, are big on this. And they're putting the word out now that if anything happens, that you need to call the state attorney general's office or the your local sheriff or whoever you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Even FEMA gets involved with stuff like that. If they're activated and they're in a disaster area, then they get federal powers to do things, just like you have federal police.
FEMA.
A lot of people don't know, but there are such things as federal police where they act in government-controlled areas, like, say, a military installation or a piece of property that's owned by the government, or when FEMA or some national emergency like this is going on, and federal police do have power. Now that area becomes their jurisdiction. Now, they just can't act anywhere they want. They're not like U.S. Marshals, but federal police are real.
They got something I saw this evening on my way home. I was crossing over some train tracks in Lake Villa over Route 83. And what I saw was a large freight train just parked there, and much of the cargo was all wood, already wrapped up, all ready to go. So I'm guessing they're just sitting there waiting for the storm to pass, and then they'll start rolling in towards the southeast because they know they're going to need that stuff. So just
an observation
I saw. You know, I wanted to share.
I saw several years ago, back in 2007, here we in Missouri, we had a really big ice storm. And 2008, we had another ice storm that was pretty good, too. But 2007, I mean, it threw the whole area out. People, there was no power, so wells weren't working. Water pumps eventually started slowing down for a little while, and then they got emergency generators for them. Even a local jailhouse, which I personally lambasted the sheriff. I pulled him to the side, and you know, when it was all over, of course, you don't want to bother him when he's in the emergency. It's after the emergency, then you're like, hey, I really don't like this. You know, you're the sheriff, and the jailhouse ran out of power. What
that
about
happened?
Our generators? You know, oh well, they're old. They were no good, and they were. I said, that's no excuse. You know.
Well, don't forget the sheriff does not control the purse strings of the county. It's the county board that controls it, and they decide.
I know, but they had these two big military grade generators. And they never kept up on them. They never did maintenance on them. And they were just completely useless. I mean, one barely ran, and it barely put out any power, and then it broke down. And
well,
that was during the crisis.
So what's happened since then?
Well, since then they got the money and appropriated real generators. Since then, but you know, I mean, I talked to him when it was starting to come around election time. I think that was 2008. Anyways, and I told him, I said, I really don't like this. I want to know what you did to fix that problem. You know, and that's what he did. They got new systems. And I'm like, yeah, you know, you're trying to rely on 1945 generators, and, you know, you're not taking care of your people. Your prisoners are your responsibility.
Oh, They absolutely are.
And they had to do an emergency transfer because it was freezing cold, you know. And anyways, I saw semi-truckloads driving from area to area selling generators for a lot higher than they should have. I mean, they were probably making like $200 or $300 each.
No,
you know,
I find hard to
believe. Yeah, something that would cost like say $300 or $400 costs like $600-$700.
Yep.
You know, double the price.
It is,
and power cords that go to it and this and that and they were higher than what they should have been, and I just saw stuff like that and I'm thinking, man, these people were actually, and they sold all of it.
Yes.
They did sell all.
Yes.
You know. So,
yes.
I'm just like, see, that's why a country boy can't survive. You know, we try to take care of things ahead of time.
Well, you try to. Anyway. That's the idea of prepping.
Yeah.
That's the main idea. It doesn't take a big comprehensive test to figure it out.
No, I'm not going
to
swallow double the price. You know, that's just for 1 week of comfort, and I'm not doing that.
Yeah, you won't. Your wife will.
I'll evacuate my wife and I'll take care of business here if that happens.
Mr. Kevin?
All right.
Yes, sir.
So this is Justin. Did I miss the chat, the caches?
You did not miss it. I got a chat room up. I don't see anything on it. I already called BTR,
okay.
Block Talk Radio, and trying to figure all that mess out. So it's
okay.
It's like, so, but yeah, there is a chat room going, but I seem to be the only one in there. But that's okay.
I remember last time that we talked that you said you want to cover doing caches and caches or about that.
So
about the price gouging. And what I'm trying to get out really is that us as smart preppers, right? We're trying to be smart preppers here. We're supposed to be watching the news. Look at the examples when things happen, right? It could have been a terrorist act. It could be a natural disaster. It could have been an industrial accident. That could, you know, like there have been industrial accidents with an explosion so big it blows out the half or whole of a small town.
It does
like
happen.
The ones down in Texas, like
Texas.
That one that happened
Texas.
Down in Texas, right? Texas, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, what can we learn from the events that are happening? And what little things can we pick up? Don't just look at the big news. Look at all the little things. I'm not even on the ground in Florida, and I haven't talked to anybody there. But what gives them the idea that they can price gouge? Then there must be a shortage going on. That's what it's telling me. There must be something, a higher demand than normal.
Don't forget, grocery stores only hold 3 days worth of supplies.
Yeah.
So then they got to get resupplied again. You know, it's literally supply on demand, and you know that's why when you see the little those stupid barcodes, all they're doing is whenever you check out, that's going in, it's going into an automatic inventory.
Inventory system. Yeah, just in time.
You're right. And then,
that's it.
If they know that a hurricane is coming, smart management would be telling the store or the loads, the next shipments to hold off. Let's see how we survive. There might not be any power. There might not be any half a store.
That's a possibility.
Whenever there's a natural disaster, there are some people, albeit not many, who do actually learn their lesson as a result of that experience and are a little bit better prepared now than they were before. Maybe not as much as they ought to be or as we think they should be, but they probably have a little bit more now than they did before. When Hurricane Sandy hit, when Hurricane Irene hit, it went inland through the south. And the weather system was so large that you could actually see the edges up around the Midwest Panhandle. If people were prepping then, they did use their preps in order to survive while they couldn't go anywhere until normalcy was restored. And those who didn't, they are prepping now. Unfortunately, those who have learned versus those who are complacent, the complacent still outnumber those who have learned from experience by a vast majority. So I'm expecting that when this hurricane hits in Florida, you're going to see the usual scenes, floods, destruction, and a whole bunch of stupid-ass millennials that's going to be looking for an outlet to charge their stupid motherfucking smartphones. Okay? Because that's what they're... I'm sorry about my...
Your language is so... Your language is harsh. Your words are hurting me.
Well,
I thought this was a safe space.
It is a safe space.
People are dying, and you have a disaster in front of you. Anyway,
your words are harsh. Your words are hurtful.
The silver lining, the optimist in me, however rare it shows itself, will know that there are a few people in Florida right now who have prepped, or that are prepared right now because they've experienced this before, Hurricane Andrew, need I say more. But at the same time, there's going to be many more younger couples out there, the ones who have cauliflower between the ears, the cucumbers, the newcomers out there. They're going to get their big lesson starting tonight into tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe.
But then the lesson should be, don't complain why the stores don't have the stuff that you need in your time of need. Because it's easier to cast the blame on other people than on yourself. You had how many years since you had your home, and for some reason you don't have an extra supply for your family in their time of need? That's not the store's fault, dumbass. That's yours.
True.
But unfortunately, you're not going to hear that much messages like that going out from CNN or MSNBC. But if you come here to this channel, I'll be more than happy to give you tough love.
That's not MSNBC. Yeah. It's PMSNBC.
Okay.
if you notice, there's reports that FEMA is already staging itself in several different locations.
Right.
And then they'll be able to move in. Now, my first thought was, okay, they see this coming, but they didn't react very well at all when Louisiana was flooding.
Don't forget, it takes a disaster declaration to get FEMA involved. It can't be a state declaring a state emergency.
Yeah.
It's got to be the federal government.
And they did, I believe they did do that. But anyways, the thought that hit my mind was,
it took some time.
Election year. With an election year coming up, that they got to do this, or Hillary Clinton, by association of the party, gets a little bit of a backlash from it. Gives more.
Well, she got a backlash for the Louisiana debacle when she, And to be fair, do you really want? Because people are bitching, oh, Obama didn't come down and all that. You know what? I got to say something. As a first responder, the last thing I want to see is any politician who thinks that they're so important, they have to be there. They don't need to be there. Stay the hell out. Stay the hell out of the way. You're just going to use up resources that could be used somewhere else doing something else. And I a lot of people, crushed Obama on it. I said, you know what? Keep him the hell away from there. If you go, what politician? You're going to go there and do what? Oh, yeah, it's flooded. Oh, yeah, we got a hurricane here. Yeah, there was a hurricane here. What are you going to do? Get that. Stay the hell out of there. You got a disaster zone. You got an emergency declared. You got to use your resources. And I don't want to spare resources for any politician, period. I don't care who you are. Stay the hell out of there.
You know why? You know why? The big criticism came because of the hypocrisy. Because when Katrina hit and George Bush did a flyover and a very small thing, and he got a lot of criticism, and a lot of unfair criticism, in my opinion. And it's like, here's Obama. He didn't go, but he went golfing. He was he was on vacation, so it was kind of like a payback thing too. Hey, you gave him all this hell. Now what about Louisiana today, huh? Oh, where are you? Vacationing, playing golf.
That was kind of
payback.
He's a busy man. Leave him alone.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to see him anyway.
I'm just saying, as a first responder, I didn't want to see. Now, I did have at times, I did have county board members show up at a crash scene that was pretty horrendous, but they didn't need to be there. Did not be, and I and there was a few times I kicked them out of the scene. I said, "Get out of here! You're hindering. We do this quite a bit. We know what we're doing. Stay the hell out of here. Get out. Go somewhere else." And then they call the sheriff, and the sheriff calls me, and I tell him what happened. And the sheriff said, "No, you're right. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Thank you, sir. Hang up the phone. Go back doing what I got to do." But it's just, you don't want to sit there and deal with a politician who's trying to get a photo op or trying to make himself look like they're just so concerned. If you're so damn concerned, get back to Washington or wherever the hell it is you came from and do your damn job.
Well, they should also be going through the right channels if they want to make a stop like that. You don't just stop there and expect the lower people to have to deal with them.
Oh, I did. I did. I'm surprised I didn't get fired, but the sheriff was good at the time, and he backed me on it. Needless to say, never had to deal with that county board member again. Ta-da!
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
So, we need to all keep aware of the news and things that happen and what type of reactions. Read between the lines about what's going on. Okay?
I got an idea.
So that's that.
Hurricane's coming, and they're saying it could swipe your ass. You need to start getting your plans implemented. Put them into action. Don't wait till the last minute. Average Joe sent me a picture. Store shelf in South Carolina. It's empty. It's bare. There is nothing left. Well, if you listened to me last week and took my advice, you would probably have all your supplies that you needed to get at the last minute. There's always going to be a need to get supplies at the last minute, no matter how prepared you are. It doesn't hurt to get as many supplies as you can at the last minute. But you got to get them first and then try to get some at the last minute. Don't wait.
Yes, especially if you're in a place that's like a hurricane. You want something durable, A box of noodles is not going to help you.
Oh, yeah.
Or a bag of rice is not going to help you. But a canned food at least can last a while, underwater.
That's why you get the canned goods. Get the canned goods. They'll float.
Or at least packaging that's waterproof, right?
I would say Mylar. That's okay. That's waterproof. That will work. Canned goods will float because they got a vacuum in there. It will float. I'm astounded at in this day and age why, if you live on the coastal region along our country, why why have you not prepped just a little bit? And the ones that don't, I'm with Chuck. I have no sympathy for you. You know, they've been tracking this thing for 2 weeks. They knew it was coming. They told you it was a possibility to come. You've chosen to wait till the last minute. Oh, well, don't come knocking on my door.
I know. I got a friend. I got a friend of mine local here, right?
Oh, geez.
And he saw me buying a bunch of canned foods and stuff like that. Like, I mean, I got my truck is full with different food. And I'm stacking it up, you know, and he's like, "You're really serious with this?" I'm like, "Well, yeah. How much food do you have? You had to stop, if you could not go to the store, I told you, how many days of food do you have, man?" He's like, "Well, I can last for like 3-4 days, maybe a week." And I said, "Hey, let me tell you something. First of all, I bet you if you had to, you can make it last double that. Second, if you're not listening to me after all of the, you know, a couple years now, I've been telling them, you need to get your shit together. I've been trying to tell you, man." And I said, I'm not kidding at all. You know, I'm like in your face, like, "Look, I'm telling you, don't show up in my house saying that you're hungry."
No. He can show up at your house saying he's hungry, but he's not getting anything. Sorry. But you're
I said, "I might feed your kids, but then I'm going to tell you, get your head out of your ass and go feed your family."
Why?
But I'll, you know,
why should they? Why? What's the, there's no motivation for that. They're not going to do that. You know,
no,
it's,
I'm
it's,
saying,
you know,
like,
it's,
if,
I know, but it,
if,
it's
it comes, if it comes down to it, I'll feed their kid for a day, but then,
I,
you know.
I get that. I understand that. Well, I guess what I'm saying is it's the old proverb, give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. Teach him to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. If they're too lazy to go out there and buy a case of vegetables, some Spam or corned beef hash, whatever's canned, whatever you want, then don't come bitching or complaining to anybody. You failed yourself.
Yeah.
You failed to prepare. Therefore, you should prepare to fail. So there.
You know, and I told him, I said, you know, like, "Hey, I'm dead serious. Don't show up at my house thinking I'm going to feed you. Because I'm trying to take care of my family. Okay, you need to take care of your family."
And that's why we have smart preppers. You know, if you know what? You can't make people do anything.
No.
That's half the problem with this country. People decide, you know, the government's going to take care of me. Well, maybe, but you might have to wait. You might have to wait 3 or 4 days, or until the storm clears, or until they can get to your block, because it's blocked by down power lines and trees and whatever else. Maybe your house, maybe you're under the rubble of your house. Who the hell knows? But if you've chosen to do nothing, screw you. Shame on you. You go explain to your kids and wife why you didn't prepare, why you could have and you chose not to. Instead, your buddy sits at the store next to you and goes, "Oh, you're really serious about it? No, numb nuts. I'm just doing it because I saw you here." What the hell's wrong with people?
You idiots.
You just had to get me fired up on this. I hate this.
I know, and it's a friend of mine, and I'm trying to be civil, and I'm trying to be nice about it. But then again, I'm like, I'm a straight talker. And there's some people don't like me because I'm a straight talker. And I'm like, you need to, like one woman at the high school, this happened last school year.
What'd you do?
"Hey, you need to walk across that grass because it's obvious that there's hay and there's seed out there. They're trying to grow the grass there. And why can't you walk around?" She's like, "Oh, I didn't see it." I said, don't lie to me. You get your lazy fat ass off that hay and walk around. And it was a parent, right? She went in there and complained to the vice principal. The vice principal came out and talked to me. So they're like, "Do we have a problem?" I'm like, "No." And I told him, I said, "You know, I was fine until she started lying right in my face." And I'm like, "You didn't see where you were. Bullshit. Shut up." He's like, "Well, you know, I don't like people trying to bullshit me or treat me like I'm stupid, but it's like, I'm a straight talker, and there's people who love me. They think I'm great. They think I'm a great guy. Okay. They like my attitude. They like the way I am. And then there's other people, they don't care for me. You know,
say it ain't so.
Yeah. You know, it's not I am not in a popularity contest. But anyways, I was straight with them, and I said, I'm not kidding. You think I do this? You know I do the radio program. So two times a week, I said, I don't do this because I need attention or something like that, you know. I do it. I'm serious.
All right. Okay, hey, let's move on to a different story. You know what? Kevin, are you available? You there?
Kevin,
unmute yourself. I demand you unmute yourself immediately. All right, there you go.
Yeah, sorry. I was trying to calm down my lab. She was going crazy.
You know what? You sent me an email. You want to touch on it about the Russians doing a 3 or 4 day drill where they're going to send like 40% of their population to bunkers? Did you send me that one?
No, but I didn't mention it in the chat last time, though.
Somebody did. Well, they're doing it.
It's going pretty crazy over there. Apparently, they're renovating all of the Cold War bunkers. They're kind of doing what the Israeli forces did of population. So they're literally giving people gas masks.
Why not? They're cheap. You can make it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to know, this is an interesting difference. You know, this is a political philosophy that shows a very big difference. I want to point it out, and that is this. You got the Russians who build bunkers for their people and want them tested and want them provisioned properly. Then you have the U.S. government who builds bunkers only for government officials, as if the U.S. population needs a government to sit there and dote on itself. It would seem to me it would be just the opposite, and vice versa. We would be building bunkers for our population, and the old communists there in the old Soviet Union would be building, you know, for the party leadership. But
we didn't go through World War One, World War Two.
We did not.
A lot of these other countries did, so we don't have that kind of experience.
You know what?
Lessons learned.
We don't have – well, we went through it. We just didn't have the invasion, and that was brutal. And that's why you got the Warsaw Pact. That's why the Warsaw Pact was developed, because the Soviets said, never again will we allow anybody to come into our country and kill millions of our people. Never again. And they meant it. Dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum. Oh, for those of you that didn't know, I found a list and maps, graphics. They posted it on the CRN Facebook page showing nuclear targets in the United States, and for our listeners in the United Kingdom, and for our listeners in Australia. Now, I also put a link that if you want to check out your state to see what nuclear targets are probably been computed and zeroed in on, you can go to that link and you can look up your state. Now, Terry, for example, lives in Missouri, which is a lot of sulfur in Missouri, so it'd be like hell on earth for Missouri, because it'll just burn until the sulfur gives out. So I just want to sit there and make Terry sleep good tonight, that's all.
Yeah, I'm screwed whatever of the cure of, you know, the attack. There's like five nuclear bases near me. I'm completely screwed if anything happens.
You ought to see I looked at the Missouri targeting list. Oh, good God. Oh, good God. I'm looking at it. Oh, my. Because they're not going to plaster one missile for each target. It's multiple missiles for one target. And it's like, oh, good God. You know.
Especially Kansas.
Kansas. Montana, the Dakotas. Missouri. And I'm thinking, well, hell, all that is, that's just the ICBM silos. All the missile wings are located there in those states. And, yeah, they're going to target all the silos they can. You know, it's just like, man, what a mess. And then also I've put a graphic up showing the predicted fallout path. It's a freaking mess once you get right along the Mississippi going east. It's an absolute black cloud. It's a mess.
Yeah, well, just, that's why I'm digging holes now.
Oh, yeah, I was.
I'm digging tunnels now because I'm going to be king of the mole men.
You're the tunnel rat, no doubt.
The mole man.
You are whatever you want to be, sir. Enjoy your time on Earth. Hey, speaking of nuclear targets, I want to say publicly, I want to say thank you to Charles in Nebraska. Thank you so much for your generous gift. I do appreciate it. Helps out a lot, my friend. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And don't forget, on the 19th, we're drawing for the second Wise Food 5-day bug out bag. So, and for the knife. Oh, and we got 21 people for the bug out bag, and I think 3 people for the knife giveaway. I know.
Man, I wish I could apply for it.
You can't, because you and I sit here and babble twice a week.
How about those T-shirt sales? How are they doing?
You want to know? Because you're going to – I don't know about you. It took me a day to get over it. 3. That's why if you listen to me at the beginning of Sunday night, I was ranting and raving and throwing an absolute fit. So I said, you know, we had people call in and email, say, yeah, get the T-shirts. We like that idea. Okay. Kirk and I do the work on it.
I think we ought to have a line of designs and let people vote. If people want to do it that much, then maybe it's the design of this T-shirt. I'm just throwing out an idea.
Hell, man, I got lots of listeners. I got lots of listeners, brother. I got 21 people for the giveaway on the bag. It's between 3 or 4 people for the knife giveaway. You think they're going to do anything with the T-shirt design? Are you kidding me? I might as well just cut my wrist and bleed out slowly.
Oh, sorry.
I'm just going to cut my wrist and bleed out slowly. Oh, I was – because I got hold of Kirk. And I said, hey, you know, how the sales going? And he said, 3. What? I was a little perturbed Sunday night when I went on my rant. Well, speaking of rants, that's really a highly rated show, by the way. We got a lot of listeners for that one. And get this, guys. Get this. You guys are going to love this idea. Guess what? Guess what? Guess what? We are now over 9,000 listeners per month. 9,000.
Oh, we're getting better, right?
Well, either we're getting better or we're so bad that people won't listen to us just, you know, just act like loons on the, you know, on the internet radio station. But like I said, we got over 9,000. I think this morning was 9,200 for the month. That's phenomenal. That's really good. So things are getting there. Things are getting there.
Pretty soon we'll be at 10 grand.
I'll say what?
Pretty soon we'll be at 10,000.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see what happens with it, brother. You know, I'm trying to say, Chuck, you've been too quiet. What's going on?
I'm ordering a T-shirt.
Go back to doing it. I'll come back to you.
Okay.
I got 4 now. All right. And then we've got Kevin. He's been kind of quiet. He's been there. He's been listening, but he's been gone for a couple weeks. Did you get locked in the basement or what?
You know, can we not do surveys anymore, like on Facebook?
I don't participate in them. mainly because.
No, I mean, like, if we made the survey.
What do you want to ask
on
the survey?
Every now and then we just get a, you know, maybe some kind of input from our listeners, like, do you prep food? Okay. Do you prep mainly in cans, in professionally packaged 25-year life food, or do you can home can yourself, you know, or other, just things like questions like this.
Yes.
You know, simple questions. It would just be a little. What do people do?
It's a for informational purposes, it'd be kind of cool, just to see how many of our people actually, you know, actually prep, and who's an armchair prepper, and who just, you know, likes to play Johnny Vegas and gamble with their lives and their loved ones and their family by not prepping. You know, we could do that.
I'm more like an Andrew Dice Clay. Oh, but like cigarette around the neck, you know.
I don't even want to know. I don't even
like,
want to know. I don't even want to know.
Terry, next time I see, if I ever meet you face to face, remind me to.
Yeah, but it's like it's like. You know, I was just looking at that. How difficult is it for people to buy the freeze-dried foods or the dehydrated foods? How many people really do that?
We talked about that. What's today? Sunday, and I did put that. It's called survival-based. They send you 1 week's supply of food for like the first one is $10, and then it's an auto ship of like $47 per month. After that, they send you 1 week of food for the $47. It's all freeze dried long term stuff. So I put that. I mean, I signed up for the program, but you know how many other people have done it? I don't know, but it's interesting. But I did put the link on there for our listeners who can't afford to prep, you know, 1 year of supply in one order form. I mean, hell, even I can't do that.
Oh, yeah. That does add up fast.
Should we let Justin do his thing for supply catches now? He's waiting.
Is he ready?
He's ready. Mr. Justin, you ready?
Sure, why not?
Okay, this is our friend Justin in California. He is a Patreon subscriber and supporter of Contra Radio Network. He'd like to talk to everybody a little bit about supply catchers. So you take it away, my friend.
All right, real quick, John. How deep should I go into this? Lukewarm or deep?
Lukewarm is fine.
Okay, so before I begin, I do not support putting items that are classified as illegal using these substances. So NSA, who's trying to listen right now, I'm not doing anything illegal. I guess I'll start with the easiest one to work with, which would be a dead drop a style cache.
Okay.
So typically, when people get into it at the start, a dead drop traditionally is a little capsule that is dropped in a concealed area that has information in it. I'm trying to pull it up. So I use old-fashioned plastic film canisters for my information caches.
Okay.
And the reason why I like using those is because you can paint them and put mud on them, and they won't damage the actual capsule. And you can use a couple of different methods for doing information. Right now, my favorite method is to get little circle stickers at a store, and I put in each color will represent a place to meet. So, for example, red means the park. Pink means my house. Blue means your house. You know, that's a good example.
All right.
Yeah, and thankfully you can still buy canisters from film. Right now I'm looking on Amazon, and they go for around $10 for 20.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
And so that means that if one of them breaks, or if you want to use a different method and try it out, it's still pretty cheap. Yep, and it says, so 20-pack from 20-pack for 10, 6, and as prime shipping. And it's a perfect little canister, so you can do anything from a list to just, you know, I want to take a look. I will now move on to a beer cache. And that's what you typically see in the movies. That's a larger 3 to 8 feet thing of PVC. Those are typically, you know, you see people put guns and ammo in there, but I personally, especially now that I know what we have now, I don't think that's even worth it anymore, because the primary reason is that most government agencies now, the technology is too good for old-fashioned forms of burial.
Okay.
Or even an average citizen can have it nowadays. So back in like the 80s, something to worry about was a metal detector. But nowadays, you can buy things called ground-penetrating radar.
Yes.
And they can literally... And that device will be able to pick up what's actually down there.
Right.
And so the old trick, which was put a lot of, like, old pieces of metal around your cache, will no longer work anymore. Because for a very long time, that was a method to conceal your cache from metal detectors. Because if there's 50 or 60 pieces of metal going off, I see them a very long time to find a cache. All
right.
And nowadays, with more technology, those are very obsolete, and it's not worth it. Are you doing that?
Uh-oh. Dog's barking. You got a black helicopter outside your house?
All right. There you go. No black helicopter, but... I guess you can. Oh, well, it's a salesperson, actually. Never mind. He wants to sell a cyber race.
Yeah. All right.
So back to caches. I typically, when I have a cache of this type, I normally put food and water in it, or like a filter. Nothing too expensive. And I typically put cheap things in there, like. Maybe some candy bars or some protein bars and maybe some water filters and matches. But I don't put anything really expensive in there just because someone can find it and then I'll lose that. Because
all right.
you'd be surprised. There's a lot of times where I will bury a cache and conceal it pretty well, and then I come back a week later, it's all gone. So I got to think about that. You can't bury something that you have to risk your life on. It should only be something as a backup. It's a primary thought process of it. And, a lot of people, they like putting this oxygen absorbers in there.
I typically think that's a really bad idea because you're causing that small environment to become very compressed, full of air, so it's going to be really hard to open it up. Since you're probably going to be using some kind of proxy glue to seal it anyway, that combined with the zero air environment is going to be impossible to get open.
All right.
You want to put your caches in an area that you can remember or have it in a map, because if you put a cache in just a group of brushes, it can be very forgettable.
Or be mislocated should
yep.
the terrain change. Yes.
So you typically want to put it in a very, very vulnerable area or have it on a map. And thankfully, we have GPS nowadays, so it's very easy to find the coordinates of your own systems. Is, of course, if it's not EMP. if EMP happens, you know, it's kind of – it happens.
That's it. I mean, yeah. I mean, if it happens, it happens. What are you going to do? Whine about
yeah.
it, wring your hands, say, oh, what am I going to do? You know what? You better know where the hell you put the damn stuff. Hell, you buried
yeah.
it. You better figure it out.
That was interesting, an interesting list, though, because I was thinking about doing the same thing but with my firearms. Mm. But the problem is that if you go someplace, if you live in a suburban area, not far outside of a metropolitan area, like let's say within a 30-mile radius from a large city, sure you're going to have farms, sure you're going to have mostly incorporated areas.
Yeah.
And in those areas, if you have farmland or any type of forest reserve that's owned by, you know, the government, that's probably the only, I mean, unless you go into someone else's property and go on their farmland or something like that and bury it. And make sure you do it in the middle of the dark and no one can see you. But if it's on the property, if it's found, it belongs to them.
Mm-hmm.
So location in this case is very, very important. If you're trying to get a cache
mm-hmm.
or bury a cache, very, you know, a long way from your home, say, for several miles. But I am worried about waking up one day to a world that, yeah, the federal government is not going to start collecting or confiscating guns or something like that. I need a plan B. Where am I going to put my stuff, right? You could try
mm-hmm.
being sneaky and just, you know, I guess cut open the drywall and try to see if you could try to set up some type of shelving system in between the studs or something like that. But then you have to put the drywall back and patch it up to make it look like nothing was cut in the first place. Or,
yeah.
you know, it just, you have to be really, really creative. And even if you are creative and if you hide it in your home, even very well, it doesn't mean that it can't be found. So I don't know. There are some risks as far as guns go of hiding it someplace in a cache off your property and either on someone else's property or even on public land where someone else will be able to find it. That's the risk right there. But other than that, you know, if it's for food and stuff like that, the same risks are there. But it's a judgment call, I guess. I mean, even if you find a good place to hide your cache, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, depending on how you do it, it'll stay hidden and it won't be found. Or worse, they do it so well, you don't remember where you put it. I do like the idea of having a cache somewhere. I'm just 100% sure. I'm not 100% sure how viable it is in incorporated areas. In unincorporated areas where the population is more sparse and the amount of properties next to each other are wide apart, then, and
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe you can hide it someplace on your property if you have several acres. Now that I think would be a safe bet, but somewhere else, on public land or on someone else's land that you don't even know who owns it, that's a risky proposition, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
One more time?
I'm sorry.
Well, what is your thoughts on that? The risk that I stated, is there a way to address that? Or is it just comes down to a judgment call and then taking responsibility for that decision?
Judgment call.
Yeah, I've pretty much come to this conclusion. It's if right now it's almost impossible to hide a buried firearm from government nowadays. The technology is just too good right now. Like, for example, there's drones that can find cache spots because they can tell where they were recently digged up. So it's really, really hard nowadays. Like, if you want to find it, they'll find it. You just have to hope that they ignore you. With anything from ground-penetrating radars, you know, to metal detectors, they can find it. And, you know, but for barrier right now, I definitely recommend doing it as a judgment call. The worst case for me is that some criminal for some reason finds it and uses, you know, a gun for, you know, criminal act. That's a worst-case scenario. Thankfully, I think that you're in the country, right?
Yep.
Okay, yes, yeah, so you will not have to deal with that. If I put a rifle or something in the cache, if someone finds it, it will be used like for a bank robbery or something, and then I will be caught up in it. And so I personally can't do it, and it's a location basis. And it also depends on if you want to do it or not. I personally, if it happens, if the complication happens, I really can't avoid it because when you buy a gun in California, they know that you have it. It's impossible to buy a gun off the books. So
yep.
They know that I have what I have.
What's he buying in Nevada?
Well, I have friends in Nevada. I think it was about that, maybe. No, I actually, right now, I can't really avoid it if it does happen. I'm just hoping that they would just be too busy doing other things and can ignore me. Since I'm a small fry compared to the organized gang that's going on around here. And I'll hope, you know. And there's not much I can do about it here. So, in my opinion, for where I'm at, caching weapons is a last resort and will probably won't work for me. But
okay.
Where you're at, if you're at much for your state where you can buy guns, you know, under the table, you probably could avoid it. I can't.
Hmm. Okay. Is that the end of your report, sir?
I can do one more, and that is what I would call open cache.
I want you to save it for Sunday night.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's pretty much storage lockers.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Bye. That's not a bad idea. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
now,
go ahead.
I'll be real quick. The only problem with caching in that type of system is that I know for a fact that that's probably going to be one of the first places to get looted by criminals. It's a almost unsecured area that's completely reliant on security cameras, and it's full of stuff.
Uh-huh.
So that means it's an open target for any criminal. And if I put anything in there, it's probably going to get stolen. And thankfully, I do live by near one, so it's an option. But
uh-huh.
it's a it's
it shouldn't be my primary source, because I actually know preppers in my area that that's their primary source of storage, because their wives don't like prepping, so that's their only way they can do it. But it should be it should not be your primary storage area, in my opinion. Anyway, that's it.
Okay. For those of you, while Justin was giving his report, I was having a conversation with Scott, New Jersey. He just made me aware of something called a motor snorkel generator. Now, according to this, it's a tri-fuel generator, natural gas, propane, and gasoline conversion kit. He has it. He said it works fantastic. He got stuck with Hurricane Sandy, and he said never again will that happen. For all, you can use all three fuels for the generator. That's it, and it's going to convert to 3,500 watts of power. So if you want to see the link, it really is. The link is on the Contra Radio Network Facebook page. You'll see it there. If you want to take a look at it, I'll leave it there.
What's the fuel again?
Natural gas. Does it say? Gasoline. And I just clicked off the site, so you're killing me here, man. Hold on. Let's just check it out in a second.
Sorry.
Natural. Well, what the hell was it? I hate you making me do this again.
Sorry.
Oh, man, I got to put all that crap back in there. Let's go here. I'll use that one. 3,500 watts. Okay. Gasoline, propane, and natural gas. That's the tri-fuel. But yeah, if you want to check it out, it's there. The link is there. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. Okay. Very good question in the chat room. If you ever gone to the chat room, check it out. It's a whole different type of thing. So, yes, all kinds of different. Yeah, it's good. I like it. All right. What else have we got to talk about on the roundtable report tonight? If we don't have anything, that's okay. You can't have a two-hour show every time. Eventually, you just run out of stuff. Now, the next time you hear from us will be Saturday night. For you people in Florida and the Carolinas, will be feeling the effects of a Class 4 hurricane. They say it could be a Class 3. And then again, I could also be a brain surgeon. So I say prepare for the worst. And if it doesn't happen, then you're that much more ahead of the game. So, yeah, and if you got to get the gasoline, try and get it. You're going to need it sometime over the weekend. I guarantee you that. What else?
I have a question.
Okay. Fire away. Let's see what we can come up with.
Another option from the whole caching thing. Why not just basically let a friend of yours hold, a rifle with some of your rounds, if you trust
him? Why not?
And then he can do the same with his, and it'll be like a trade-off, so that if they do take the guns away, from your home, you'll have another one at someone else's home. I guess that's one way of doing it.
Well, I see where you're going with it. One of the ways you can get around that is, and I think... Yeah, Terry and I or Kevin and I talked about it, and that is this. Go buy a couple of cheap guns, and then if they come knock on your door to confiscate, who cares? Here are the guns I've got. Yeah, come on in. Check all you want. Here are the two I have.
Uh-huh.
Think of them as throwaway guns.
Right.
And like you said, then you've got your weapons at another location. Now, the trick is, this is the trick. Once they leave your house and are going, you got to make sure that you've got get your weapons out of your friend's house before they get inspected. So you got to make,
Right.
Or vice versa. if they start doing, you know, your friend calls and says, hey, look, they're two blocks away. You got to get to his house, grab your guns, grab his guns, and get the hell out of there. And then when they're done with his house, you got to go back, drop them off. So in case they come to your house, you know, there's nothing there except the two throwaway guns or so. You know, that's how
right.
you do it. And if California is being so damn stupid about the Second Amendment, I understand there are a multitude of weapons available in Nevada for legal purchase. So there you go. There you have it.
That's why I purposely have I have a couple weapons that are paperless. I mean, you can buy them from other people.
You
it's
can.
Not illegal.
It's a private sale. It's fine.
Yeah. But it's like, and I make sure that I don't deal with, I watch who I deal with, you know.
Know your buyer. Know your seller.
Agreed.
It's like being a drug dealer. You don't sell drugs to people you don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Don't sell your weapons to people you don't know. Don't buy your weapons from people you don't know.
Right. Don't sell your moonshine to people you don't know.
Exactly. No, that's serious. That's true.
Yeah.
You know,
and
there's some
things
you just don't do.
And I've also, I purposely have those, and I have some other weapons that are, of course, registered because I bought them commercially.
No.
But
probably illegal. Probably illegal.
Yeah. yeah. They were having this big sale down there in the beginning of, you know, I think it was like back in 2009. Texas
mm-hmm.
was selling a whole bunch of stuff out of their pawn shops, and then I heard about Fast and Furious. I was like, "Oh, no, I'm just kidding." I purposely have that for the idea of being able to cache weapons and ammo in some specific spots. But see, I don't live in the city.
And you do not.
So I'm fortunate that I can hide weapons and ammo.
Right.
And
in
a million
anywhere.
Different places.
Oh yeah, you got an entire farm field.
And one of the big deals you want to make sure is you want to make sure that nobody sees what you're doing.
Well,
that's the whole point of a cache. And you want to scope these places out. You want to make sure that who owns the land and all kinds of stuff. And you know, in the Army we practice training on things like this, like using caches. And we did use caches. But in the type of situation that we're looking at as preppers, it comes into a whole different thing, because we got laws, we got people that own property, things like that. I think that doing cache is a smart thing, personally.
It
all depends on what you're cacheing. You can cache almost anything. I cache things like guns and weapons and ammo. Commercially prepared, long-term shelf life food.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Water filter, so I can make water.
Or clean water, as the case may be.
Right, so I can make clean water. And, I thought about putting water in there, and I thought, no, I think it's better if I can filter water. Because the water, I don't know, might get old. They got the 30-year water you can buy. But I didn't choose to go that way. I just thought a water filter would be better.
Right.
And a few cooking things, you know, like, because this food I'm talking about was, like, you need hot water. You know, you want to eat a hot meal. So there's a few cooking pieces in there. There's can openers, of course, canned foods. There's extra set of clothes. There are an extra set of boots, belt, you know, full set. One civilian, one more camouflage, you know, army style. It does whatever the situation is where I have to come back to it. I mean, if I have to dig that thing up, because I made it where I can set it and forget it. It's sealed in a, you know, like in a big 55-gallon plastic drums with the lid, and it's sealed. And that way no water will get to it. It won't deteriorate or anything. It's going to be perfectly fine. And the weapons were packaged for long term and put in an ammo can, right? And then I put oxygen absorbers in the can itself.
Okay.
And, you know, your ammo cans, they've got that rubber gasket around it. So it's waterproof. It's waterproof and airtight. And
that's actually a good idea. Yeah.
You know, like the water absorbing deal that could, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's not oxygen absorbers, but it absorbs the humidity out of the air.
I forget the name of it. Is that Silverstone stuff? The bags of pellets or something like that?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. And I have, so I have the oxygen and that. And I have, so it's like three different ammo cans. One's got gun and a cleaning kit with the gun and holster. And, you know, so I'm prepared to pick it up and use. You know what I'm saying? So you just got to think, if I'm coming to this bare naked, I have nothing, what can I use? There's also a backpack in there so that I can carry things away. There's first aid equipment in there. And it's all, a lot of these things are all individually packaged. So it's like a gallon Ziploc bag of this, a larger bag of that, you know, things like that. So it's not just simply thrown in. What else? Things like flashlights. One of them is I've got a rechargeable lantern, some fire starter stuff, you know, the fire starter powder. What's that stuff
fire
called?
Good.
I forget what it's called. Huh?
Fire good.
Yeah. You know, like some lighters, some waterproof matches. That fire starter powder, I forget what it's called. You know what I'm talking about, right? It you can buy it like in a big gallon pail.
Oh, okay.
And anyways, it's for quick, easy fire starter stuff.
Gunpowder? Sorry, I'm just...
Yeah, gunpowder. Ooh. It's like... So, you know, it's lots of different things where you can... It's kind of like in the military, we use it for refit the fight. So you come over to your cache, and that way you're in the lines of, if I need more ammo, I can go to an ammo cache. If I need more, if you got a food and water cache, there's different kinds of caches. It doesn't have, when I do a cache, it's comprehensive because I'm only going to do so many, right? And like I've got one out in the National Forest. Right, Mark Twain National Forest. It's very big, you know, tens of thousands of acres, and nobody knows where it is. Only I know, and it's under like between 6 inches and 12 inches of dirt, you know, and
Okay.
It's easy to find if you know where it is. But if you look at it today, you would never know anything was happening there, you know, because it's all, it's kind of old now. So, in that one, I've got simple stuff like medical supplies, a set of clothes, they're camouflaged, and food, stuff like that. It's a smaller cache, but that's kind of like if I, you know, I need to bug out and I get there, I got something that I can eat for tonight, tomorrow, the next day, or something like that. I think it's like something like a week's worth of food for three people. Three adult men. So, you know, it as far as putting your weapons and stuff away, there are certain ways that you should do it. Like you shouldn't be boiling down too much if you got wood stocks, you know, a wood in it. There is such a thing as called packing grease that you can use. There's good ways to do it, and there's wrong ways to do it, of course. But I think it's good. If it depends on your location and where you want to go. I mean, if you were in a city, I don't know. I'd find a place. I go, if I'm going to put it somewhere in the city that's not on my property, I'm going to be worried about, like, well, why am I putting it over there? Do I plan on bugging out to that location, you know, past that location? Is this en route for me to leave? So if I'm leaving my location and I'm going north, and it's about 100 miles from here, then it might, depending on who's going with you, are you alone? Are you with family? You got children? You got your wife? You might not be able to carry all your supplies. So somewhere between here and the next 100 miles going north, you have a cache hidden somewhere. Where nobody can, you know, nobody's going to look. But you got to burying it and stuff like that. You just don't put it on top of the ground with things around it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But easy enough for you to find. You'd hate to show up, right? You're like, damn, where'd I put this thing? But it can't be so difficult that you can't get to it with You should be able to get to it with your bare hands. You shouldn't have to have a shovel or anything. You shouldn't have to move anything that's too heavy you can't move. You should be able to get to it with your bare hands.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know what? Okay. I suppose.
I wouldn't mind doing something like that and then leaving a map with riddles like Lord of the Rings. Something really vague and misleading.
Well,
only a hobbit will be able to interpret.
And then, if you left it at an old abandoned gas station, right? And you put it underneath the floor, you know, and you got tile and things like that underneath, or you know, a little bit of rubble that's on the side of the building. Now all of a sudden, you see that somebody bought the property. I mean, every now and then, you got to swing by just to see if anything's happening. You can't just leave it there and come back 10 years later and expect everything okay. You got to periodically see if anything's disturbed the place. But if somebody bought the property, I'd say you go back over there at night and dig that thing up and get the hell out. You know what I mean?
Sorry, this
you, go ahead.
This is crossing the wire now. Apparently, Governor Scott in Florida has signed an emergency concealed carry bill for It says it's a temporarily carry concealed handguns without a permit during periods when the sun isn't shining so bright. So basically they're saying they're going to allow law-abiding citizens without concealed carry licenses to bear arms during a declared mandatory evacuation. So that has been signed. A few people in Florida, arm it up. Get you some.
I need John real quick.
Maybe.
Oh, real quick. I have to go soon. I was wondering,
all right,
do you have the, do you have me down for the knife giveaway?
Yes. Yes, sir, I do.
All right. All right, cool. And do you have my email?
I do, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, thank you so much. I'm sure everything's done. Everyone have a good day. Have some good, have some fun doing cash days. I'll do this on Saturday.
All right, buddy. Talk to you. You be careful out there in the tyranny state of California.
Hey, I will do.
All right, sir. Thank you for calling in. I do appreciate your call and your participation in the roundtable report tonight. Thank you. And all right. Have we covered everything we want to cover tonight?
I think so.
I think we did.
Are you sure?
Well, final words, I guess.
Final word it is. Go ahead, sir. Fire away.
Okay. So, civilians that experienced Hurricane Andrew, Hurricane Sandy, and Hurricane Irene learned this lesson. It's always a good idea to have an extra supply of provisions as well as, you know, money, fuel, so on and so forth and whatnot. First aid, especially first responders, will not be able to reach you in your most urgent time of need. If you own a home, you owe it to your family to do this, so I would recommend seriously considering the option of purchasing extra supplies for a rainy day during a time and in the hope that you will never have to use it. But then you would ask, well, what's the point? Well, what's the point of having a generator? You don't always, just because you buy something in case of emergency type of item with the hopes of not ever having to use it, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't get it then, because you're probably not going to use it in the foreseeable future. Because what you're basically getting the stuff for is for the unforeseeable future, for the unthinkable circumstances. In this particular case, for many Floridians, it's a hurricane. So if you haven't thought about it much before, perhaps now it's time to reconsider that for the future. If you're going to be hunkered in your home, no first responders are available, ambulances, no police officers, consider getting some extra supplies so you'll be able to survive in your home while you're waiting for everything to return to normal. And that's
there you go. Words of wisdom, sir. Words of wisdom, I add.
Thank you.
Very good. All right, Mr. Chuck, thanks for calling in, buddy. I appreciate you participating in the roundtable report tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a nice evening.
All right. Good night, sir.
Yeah.
Next, we got Mr. Kevin. Mr. Kevin. I think he's having phone issues tonight. I'm not sure. All right. That's okay. If he's having phone issues, I'm sure he'll get it fixed next time around. Kevin, thanks for calling in. Thanks for joining the chat room and participating in the roundtable report tonight. We'll talk to you, buddy. Mr. Terry, you're up, buddy.
Yes, sir. I tell everybody that, like I've said, I know you guys have heard me say this before, but we need to pay attention to our current events and start looking at the situation, reading between the lines, looking at all the other little stories that's going on, not just, you know, the big headlines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like politicians, you know, you gotta kind of read between the lines about what they really mean, because they have a lot of, they say these phrases, but that's kind of code for something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't trust what they say. I don't trust anything.
What?
Did you watch the vice president? Did you watch the vice presidential debate?
I did.
I tried, and it sounded more like two lawyers fighting for a mother and father in divorce course.
Oh, sir. I used to have to sit in divorce court. I did that for a few years. Yeah.
I couldn't watch it. I got tired of that. Real quick.
All right. Okay. Now, you know what? We didn't get to Average Joe's radiation conclusion for nuclear weapons and whatnot. We're going to take care of that on Sunday night. We'll fire away.
All right.
We'll do that.
I know I like that information. I think
right.
It's really good.
He's taken some time and thought and put forth the effort. Absolutely, he has. All right. Well, we've come to the end of our show. We appreciate all of you listeners. Without you, we couldn't be where we're going right now. If you want to, you know what to do. If you want to support CRN, t-shirts, $25. Want to just make a $2 monthly donation, that'd be cool too. But we do this, Terry and I do this show, and I'll tell you why. Because we don't want people knocking on our door when the grid goes down.
Oh.
We talked about that. And that when it gets right down to it, that's really the essence of trying to be a prepper. You don't want to have to go begging somebody else for food and water because you are so irresponsible and you didn't believe it. And that's half the problem with people who aren't preppers. They just don't believe it can happen. Well, it can happen. And you're about to see, and I hope I'm wrong, but you're about to see what happens when people don't prep. This weekend, you're going to see it. Because I guarantee you, people went to the store, they didn't get everything they needed. They got a lot, but they didn't get what they needed. So you'll see what happens when you don't prep. This will be a little reminder. Or as, the good Lord puts it, it's a love tap. It's an attention getter. So with that said. All right, Mr. Terry, I will talk to you later, buddy.
Yes, sir.
You have a good one. Hey, thanks for calling in, my friend.
I will be here.
You don't fail me. You've never failed me. All right. So for my prepper and patriot friends, I say to you this. Be alert, be safe, and be vigilant. This is John Jeffers.
And look good doing it.
Oh, you got to look good, baby. That's half that right there is quarter. That's half the battle right there. You got to look good. So on behalf of my co-host Terry and myself, I appreciate you listening in to us at Contra Radio Network. We will be back Saturday night, 8 o'clock, for Julie and Dawn and Angela for Ladies of the Watch. That'll be at 8 o'clock Central Daylight Time. So we'll see all of you then. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you Saturday night. I'm John Jeffers. Good night.
Welcome to Total Wine and More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine and More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in store or online at TotalWine.com.
Welcome to Total Wine and More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine and More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in store or online at TotalWine.com.